الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونؤمن به ونتوكل عليه ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلله فلا هادي له ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له ونشهد أن سيدنا ونبينا ومولانا محمدا عبده ورسوله صلى الله تعالى عليه وعلى آله وأصحابه وبارك وسلم تسليما كثيرا كثيرا أما بعد فقال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم من بنى بالله مسجدا بنى الله له بيتا في الجنة وقال صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم إنما بنيت المساجد لذكر الله أو كما قال صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم رب اشرح لي صدري ويسر لي أمري واحلل عقدة من لساني يفقه قولي سبحانك لا علم لنا إلا ما علمتنا إنك أنت العليم الحكيم اللهم انفعنا بما علمتنا وعلمنا ما ينفعنا إن الله وملائكته يصلون على النبي يا أيها الذين آمنوا صلوا عليه وسلموا تسليما اللهم صل وسلم وبارك على سيدنا ومولانا محمد وعلى آله وأصحابه وأتباعه وأزواجه وذرياته. الله سبحانه وتعالى only through His infinite mercy and grace has granted us this great favor of His in the form of Masjid An-Nur. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accept the efforts of all who strove in the construction of this beautiful house of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us all the tawfiq to truly be grateful to Him for this favor and to utilize this favor according to His wishes and His pleasure. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam says, Man bana lillahi masjidan bana Allahu lahu baytan fil jannah. One who constructs, one who builds a house, a masjid, a house of Allah, masjid, only for the pleasure of Allah. This is the condition. It should be only for the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Not for show, not for fame, not to compete with other masajid. That our masjid is more beautiful than Jummah masjid or Madina masjid or Makki masjid or any masjid throughout the island. Because if this is the case, then it will be a sign of Qiyamah. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has said, Inna min ashrati sa'ati ay yatabaha an-nasu fil masajid. From amongst the signs of Qiyamah, well, Qiyamah is that people will compete against one another in constructing beautiful masajid. One who builds a masjid only for the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Then Allah lahu baytan fil jannah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will build a house, a palace for him in Jannah. This is the riwayah of Bukhari Sharif. And in Ibn Majah Sharif, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is reported to have said, Man bana lillahi masjidan walau kamaf hasi qatat, bana Allahu lahu baytan fil jannah. One who builds a masjid the size of the nest of a bird called qatat, a very small masjid, the size of a nest, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will build a house and palace for him in Jannah also. The ulama have posed the question, obvious question, that if a person was to build a masjid the size of a nest of a bird, who will be able to perform salat in that masjid? So the ulama commentating on these hadiths have said that Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is saying to us that if a person is unable to construct and build a whole masjid himself, then even if he was to take an insignificant part, significant or insignificant part, in constructing a masjid, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will build a house and palace for him in Jannah also. So by putting the two hadiths together, we come to this conclusion that anyone who has taken part in whatever way in the construction of this masjid, as long as it was for the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has accepted this effort of his, and Allah will grant him a house or a palace in Jannah. Such a great reward. So I congratulate all the brothers, all the sisters who have contributed towards the construction of this masjid, who have participated in constructing this masjid. And as a result of this effort, alhamdulillah, this place has become one of the most beloved places to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, Ahabbul biladi ila Allahi masajiduha. The most beloved places to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala are the masajid. The masajid, shari'i masajid, are the most beloved places to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Why? Because masajid are connected to the name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Once a portion of this earth is designated as a masjid, as the area of a masjid, it is not permissible to do anything in that designated area or portion unless it is associated to the name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Zikrullah is permissible because zikrullah is associated to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Tilawa is permissible because tilawat is the kalam of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Discussing ahadith, discussing Quran is permissible. Talking about deen is permissible because it is associated to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Anything besides the zikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, or anything associated to the zikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, is not permissible within this boundary now. And it is for this reason these portions become the most beloved to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Because innama buniyatil masajidu li dhikrillah. Masajid are constructed only for the remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the portion of the earth where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is remembered for a few moments only, any portion of the earth, shopping mall, our homes, park, the doctor's surgery, hospital, any portion of the earth which is not designated for the performance of salah, any ordinary portion of this earth, if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is remembered on that portion for a few moments, they shine like stars. They shine, that portion, those portions shine like stars for the malaika in the heavens. So during the night when you look up, all we can see is darkness except the stars shining. So when the malaika look down upon this earth, They can see nothing but darkness. The only places they can see shining like stars are the places where the servants of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala are remembering Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Any person. Rashk karta hai falak aisi zami par asad. Mawlana Asadullah sahib, rahimahullah ta'ala, the khalifa of Hadrat Hakim al-Ummah, Mawlana Ashraf Ali Thani rahimahullah ta'ala, very beautiful sings in a couplet. Rashk karta hai falak aisi zami par asad. Oh Asad, he is talking to himself, he says, Oh Asad, the heavens, despite their highness and despite their grandeur, they envy that portion of the earth. The one who is virtuous does not envy the one who is less virtuous. It is always the other way around. The less virtuous envies the one which is virtuous. Low does not envy the high. High does not envy the low. It is the low that envies the high. But Mawlana Asadullah Sahib Rahmatullah Ali says here, the high is envying the low. Despite all its lowliness, the earth is being envied by the heavens, despite all their grandeur. But which portion of the earth? That portion of the earth where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is remembered for a few moments. So Mawlana Asadullah Sahib Rahmatullah Ali says, Rashk karta hai falak aisi zameen par asad, jis pe do char ghadi zikr-e-khuda hota hai. Where that portion of the earth, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is remembered for a few moments, the heavens envy that portion of the earth. Because that portion becomes so valuable in the eyes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It becomes so blessed in the eyes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So just an ordinary portion of the earth where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is remembered for a few moments, it shines for the malaika in the heavens. Then imagine that portion of the earth which is designated only for the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And in that area nothing happens except the remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. People will come for Fajr Salah, some will come even for Tahajjud Salah. بشر المشائين في الظلم بالنور التام يوم القيامة. I remember my childhood when I was in my village Bhariya in India, the people would wake up early in the morning, go to the masjid and perform tahajjud salat in the masjid. بشر المشائين في الظلم بالنور التام يوم القيامة. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that give glad tidings to those people who walk towards the masjid in the darknesses of the night. For Tahajjud Salat or for Fajr Salat, that is also darkness of the night, or for Isha Salat. Give glad tidings to those people who walk towards the masjid in the darknesses of the night with complete noor on the day of Qiyamah. Their faces will be glowing like the 14th moon. When they will have to cross the Sirat, they will not face any difficulty because they will be guided by this noor. And they will be guided by this noor until they enter Jannah. So these places, my friends, people will come for Fajr Salah, people will come for Zohar Salah, people will come for Asr Salah. 50 musallis in Fajr, 100 musallis in Zohar, Asr, Maghrib, Isha. Some will come early, some will leave the masjid late. All the time. The only thing that takes place in this house, or should take place in this house, is the remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. I urge all my friends, alhamdulillah, if we want to talk, in every masjid, in all the masajid in Barbados and majority of the masajid throughout the world, you always have a place where you can leave the masjid to talk to each other regarding worldly matters. And regarding dini matters, it is not permissible to talk about dini matters in a loud voice while somebody is engaged in performing salah. So much so that it is not permissible to recite the Quran in a loud voice in such a way that it may disturb somebody who is performing salah. Let us go from here with this firm resolution that inshallah we will fulfill the rite of Masjid al-Nur. We will fulfill the rites of Jummah Masjid, we will fulfill the rites of Madina Masjid, we will fulfill the rites of Makki Masjid. It's a ne'mat from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, but ne'mat for as long as we fulfill its rites. If we don't fulfill its rites, we will be answerable on the day of Qiyamah. So let us make a firm resolution that we will fulfill its rights. We will come and perform salah regularly. We will come to the masjid all 5 times a day. Fajr, Zohar, Asr, Maghrib, Isha. We will endeavor to perform all five times salat in the masjid, inshallah. We will try to come as early as possible. Because Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has said, the one who enters the masjid and he waits for salah, then for as long as he is waiting for salah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will grant him reward for performing salah. So let's say you have a person who comes into the masjid earlier than the stipulated time of salah. And after entering the masjid, according to the sunnah method, he performs eight rakats left. Alhamdulillah, 8 rakats left. And another person came into the masjid and he sat into the masjid without doing anything. No subhanallah, no alhamdulillah, no Allahu Akbar, nothing. Silently he just sat there waiting for salat. Maybe every 5 minutes he's looking at the clock and waiting for salat. So the first person who has performed 8 rakats will be rewarded for 16 rakats. 8 rakats that he has performed, and that duration in which he can perform 8 rakats, he was waiting for salat. And the second person will be granted reward for performing 8 rakats without performing 8 rakats. Because a person who sits waiting for salat in the masjid is rewarded by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for performing salat. It is as if he is performing salat. And we understand from another two hadith of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that whether a person is waiting for salah before salah, or whether a person sits in the masjid because it's a holy place, because it's a blessed place, because it is the house of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, because he has left for this place, and he is not in a rush, he loves the masjid, so he remains in the masjid. Then before salah and after salah, the one who remains seated in the masjid or who remains engaged in ibadah in the masjid, as long as he does not engage in worldly talk, then there are angels who continually pray for him. And what do they say to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Allahumma ghafir lahu, Allahumma rahamhu. Oh Allah, grant him forgiveness. Oh Allah, forgive all of his sins. Allahumma rahamhu, oh Allah, shower your mercy upon him. Oh Allah, have mercy upon him. And angels who are immune from sins, pure beings, they continually make this dua. So if a person is sitting in the masjid before salat or after salat for 15 minutes, 20 minutes, these angels are continually making dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allahumma gfir lahu warhamhu. Allahumma gfir lahu warhamhu. Allahumma gfir lahu warhamhu. Allahumma gfir lahu warhamhu. Will Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala not accept the prayer of these angels? So I always urge my friends that try to come as early as possible. There are many of us who don't come to the masjid at all. We need to rectify this situation. Because the very first thing we will be questioned for on the day of Qiyamah is Salah. إِنَّ أَوَّلَ مَا يُحَاسَبُ بِهِ الْعَبْدُ يَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ الصَّلَاةِ. The very first thing which we will be reckoned for on the day of Qiyamah is As-Salah. So those brothers who are not performing Salah, they need to worry. Who are not coming to the masjid for Salah, they need to worry. Because according to one opinion, it is wajib to come and perform salah with jama'ah. And according to the second opinion, it is sunnah muakkada. And whether it's wajib or whether sunnah muakkada, we will be questioned if we do not have a valid reason. So let us come to the masjid. And those of us who are coming into the masjid, but are unable to enter the boundary of the masjid. So many of us come half an hour before salat, 20 minutes before salat, 15 minutes before salat. But we remain outside the boundary of the masjid. Why? Because we want to engage, talking to our friends. And we should question ourselves. We should question ourselves. What is the question? The question is that why is it that I have come so near to the house of Allah? This building is not the masjid. It is these four walls designated for salah, that is the masjid area. I have come so close to the house of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is not inviting me in his house. Is Allah unhappy with me? Am I not from those servants of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala who are very close to him? We remain engaged talking to our friends outside. We will come into the masjid in the last minute. And we will leave the masjid as soon as the salat is over, and we will continue talking in the car park area or outside the masjid or in the wuzu area for another half an hour. No, my friends. Let us try to come to the masjid as soon as possible, and let us try to remain in the masjid for as long as possible after the salah. And I would urge each and every one of you to spend at least 2 minutes, 3 minutes in the masjid after you complete your sunnah, your nafl, your dua, with this intention that I want to acquire the dua and the prayer of the malaika before I leave. Because the malaika will continually pray for you for as long as you are there. We need to change our habits and enter, come for 5 times salat, come regularly, even during other times if the masjid is open, come and spend as much time as possible. We have performed our asr salat, it's only half an hour, 3/4 of an hour before asr and maghrib. There is no reason to go home. Remain in the masjid. Construction of the masjid is not so difficult. The physical construction of the masjid is not so difficult. The spiritual construction of the masjid is very difficult. So we have entered the second phase now. The first phase is over, alhamdulillah. The second phase, the spiritual construction of the masjid. The more we remain in the masjid, engaged in ibadah with our total focus towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the more we will excel in spirituality. There are two houses of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. One is the masjid. Masjid is the house of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah has created the masjid, or Allah has ordered us to construct the masjid only for His zikr. So nothing can take place within these four walls. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has created another house, that is our heart. The heart is only for the zikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Nothing else. If we remember business, if we remember business, it should be for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But Allah has instructed me to earn halal livelihood to sustain myself and the family, therefore I am engaging in business. This house, heart and mind, house, this house, this heart, heart and mind, this house, this is another house, one house is this house, the houses of Allah, the masajid. It is only for the remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the heart is only for the remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If we remember our wives, then we remember her because Allah has instructed us to love our wives. If we remember our parents, we remember our parents because Allah has instructed us to love them. If we remember our children, then it is only because Allah has instructed us to love our children. In this heart, there should be nothing but zikrullah or anything associated to zikrullah. And in this house, there should be nothing except zikrullah or anything associated to zikrullah. And these two have a very close connection. Those people who desire to purify their hearts from so many unlawful remembrances, and those people who want to purify their hearts from debasing qualities, and those people who desire to instill in their hearts the remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and the love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala only, they need to collect themselves to these houses of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. One poet very beautifully says, Dilo masjid hai dono ghar khuda ke, dilo masjid hai dono ghar khuda ke. The masjid and the heart, they are both houses of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Why? Because in this house only the remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is permitted. And this heart has been created only for the remembrance of Allah. And they have a very close connection. The more we engage focusing ourselves towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the masjid, the more time we spend in the masjid focusing towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the more our hearts will become alive spiritually. And they will remember Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala more. So the poet says, Dilo masjid hai dono ghar khuda ke, magar ek hai tamir teri aur dusri tamir hai khuda ki. There are two houses of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. One is the masjid, the other is the heart. Masjid has been constructed by you and the heart has been created by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So the masjid that has been created by you, if it deserves only the remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then what about the heart that was created by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? It deserves nothing but the remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So let us make a firm resolution, my friend, that we will We will construct this masjid spiritually as well. We will construct Jumma Masjid also spiritually. We will construct Madina Masjid, Makki Masjid, Masjid al-Nur. And we will learn the etiquettes of the masjid. Number one, we will try to come into the masjid as much as possible. We will come in all 5 times salat. We will come early. We will go late. We will come in between salat times also. We will try to spend as much time as possible in the masjid. And we will enter the masjid according to the sunnah method. The sunnah method is we enter with our right foot. And we say Bismillah. And thereafter we send salutations and greetings upon our beloved Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So we will say, Wassalatu wassalamu ala Rasulillah. Bismillah. Wassalatu wassalamu ala Rasulillah. And thereafter we will read the Muslim dua. Allahumma qfirli dhunubi waftahli abuwaab rahmati. Or the short form, Allahumma aftahli abuwaab rahmati. And then we will make aitikaf. We will make niyat of aitikaf. That, oh Allah, for as long as I am in the masjid, I am making intention of aitikaf. Thereafter, we will not engage in any idle or worldly talk or worldly activity. We will engage in recitation of the Quran. We will engage in performing salat. If it is not makruh time, we will perform 2 rakats tahiyatul masjid first. And then we will engage in ibadah. We will remain focused to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We will neither look to the right, left or behind. What is happening right, left, behind, we don't want to know. Connect ourselves to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We will not raise our voices in the masjid. We will not sit in groups and talk and disturb other Muslims. We will not violate the etiquettes of the masajid. Sa'id ibn Yazid, rahimahullah ta'ala, says, once I was in the masjid, and according to one narration, I was lying down in the masjid. A Muslim, when he is on his own, or there are only a few people, it's not salat time, then it is permissible for a Muslim, but when he gets tired, he can lie down for a while to freshen himself so that he is able to do more worship. I was lying down. In another narration, I was standing in the masjid, and somebody started throwing pebbles at me. So he said, I looked, who is throwing pebbles at me? It was Amirul Mu'mineen, Umar ibn Khattab, radiyallahu ta'ala anhu. So Amirul Mu'mineen Umar ibn Khattab radiyallahu ta'ala anhu was so particular in regard to the etiquettes of the masjid that he did not even call his name out. Oh Sa'id, can you come here? No. He threw pebbles at him. To draw his attention, he threw pebbles at him. He did not even simply say, oh Sa'id, I want to. So he threw pebbles at him. So he said, when I look, it was Umar ibn Khattab radiyallahu anhu. So he gestured, and so I went near him and I said to him, what can I do for you, Amirul Mu'mineen? So Amirul Mu'mineen Umar radiyallahu anhu said, do you see those two people sitting there talking with loud voice? Bring them here. So they were brought in the presence of Umar radiyallahu anhu. Umar radiyallahu anhu asked them, are you from the people of Medina Munawwara or are you outsiders? So they said, no, we are from Taif. We belong to the people of Taif. We have come from Taif. Now it is necessary for Umar radiallahu anhu to find out whether they were local people or visitors, because we deal with local people differently, with visitors differently. Number two, the people of Madina Munawwara, because it was Merkaz and center of Ilm, had more knowledge, and the people who came from outside did not have similar knowledge. So before dealing with them, Umar radiallahu anhu said, are you from the people of Madina Munawwara or from outside? He said, no, we are from outside. We are from Taif. So Umar radiallahu anhu said, لَوْ كُنْتُمَا مِنْ أَهْلِ الْمَدِينَةِ لَوْ جَعَتُكُمَا. If you were from the people of Madina Munawwara, I would have punished you. Why? تَرْفَعَانَ أَصْوَاتَكُمَا فِي مَسْجِدِ رَسُولِ اللَّهِ صلى الله عليه وسلم. The ulama have said that this is no speciality of Masjid al-Nabawi. The raising of the voice, the impermissibility of raising the voice in the masjid is no speciality of Masjid al-Nabawi. But because the incident took place in Masjid al-Nabawi, Umar radiallahu anhu mentioned Masjid al-Nabawi. He said, "Tarfa'ale aswatakuma fi masjid Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam." You are raising your voices in the masjid of Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. I would have punished you for this if you were from the people of Madina Munawwara. This is how severe it is. And my friends, whilst making sure that we frequent the masajid, and whilst making sure that we do not violate the rights of the masajid, in order for us to become successful in whatever we intend to do in the future, we need to have unity amongst ourselves. Unity is very, very important. Unity is very, very important. Wherever disunity creeps in, listen to my words carefully. Wherever disunity creeps in, the rahmat, the mercy, the barakat, the blessings, and the nusra, the help of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is lifted from that place or from that group or from that community. We need to remain united. And the best method of unity is we need to see where lies haq. Where lies haq? Who is trying to follow the sharia? And we are unable to understand the sharia direct from the Quran or Hadith. It is low. It is like a lawyer. He has dozens of books on law. But we don't pick up that book. And we don't try to determine what is my right and what is your right. Now we turn to the lawyers, we go to the barristers and the solicitors. So similarly, Quran and Hadith is not something that any Muslim or any ordinary Muslim, any layman can just pick up the Quran or pick up the Hadith and say that this is what the Hadith says. No, we need to turn to the experts. Imam Abu Hanifa is the lawyer, he is the barrister. Imam Shafi is the barrister and the lawyer. And Imam Malik is the barrister and the lawyer. Imam Ahmad ibn Hanbal rahmatullahi, they are the barristers and the lawyers. The likes of Mufti Taqi Usmani, the likes of Mufti Ahmad Khanpuri, the likes of Mufti Sayyid Ahmad Palanpuri, the great fuqaha of our time, they are the lawyers. So whenever we come across something in the Hadith and we feel that the Hadith says this, but the local people are doing this, we need to refer to the fuqaha, the lawyers first. And we need to follow the Quran and Hadith in light of the interpretation of the lawyers and the barristers and the fuqaha. So unity is very, very important, and unity lies in Quran and Hadith, unity lies in Sharia, and those who interpret the Sharia for us are the fuqaha, the well-known fuqaha. We all know who are the great muftis. Number two, we need to make sure for unity, we respect each other, we respect the views of each other, and we deal with each other, we oppose each other if there is a need, with respect. With respect. Respect is very, very important. Number three, we also refer to the ulama, local ulama. First, we should refer, our first point of contact is the local ulama. And if they are unable to solve, they will get in touch with the higher authorities. And then they will get the answers for us. So unity is very, very important. Number two, secondly, Sharia. Following the Sharia is very, very important. And number three, following the Sharia in the light of the teachings of our Akabir and our great personalities, Imam, beginning from Imam Abu Hanifa, Imam Malik, until our present Akabir. It is very, very important. That will inshallah keep the unity amongst the community. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us all the tawfiq to value this great name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Another very important responsibility on our shoulders is to pay off the debt that is in the masjid, and also to maintain the masjid. Maintaining the masjid is our responsibility also. Tamim Dari, Ravi Allah Ta'ala Anhu, was the first person who lit a candle in Masjid Nabawi. Sahaba used to go for Maghrib Salah, they used to go for Isha Salah, they used to go for Fajr Salah, Maghrib Salah, no candle, in darkness. So one day Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam came into the masjid and he saw that the Masjid Nabawi was lit with candles. So it was something new. So he said, Who did this? So the Sahaba Rizwanullah Ta'ala Alim Admain said, Tamim Dari. So he said, call Tamim Dari. This is the reward for maintaining the houses of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. What did he say to Tamim Dari? He said, Ya Tamim Dari. O Tamim Dari. Navvarta masajidana navvarallahu kalbat. O Tamim Dari, you have enlightened our masajid. You have enlightened Masjid Nabawi. I make dua for you that may Allah enlighten your heart. And Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was so happy that he said, Ya Tamim Dari, law kanat li ibnatun qad zawwajtukaha. It's a pity that all my four daughters are married. If I had an unmarried daughter, as a result of happiness from what you have done for the masjid, I would have given that daughter in your marriage. So maintaining the masjid is also our responsibility. I am very, very happy to be here at this very happy occasion with all my beloved brothers in Barbados who also have a lot of love for me. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accept us all May Allah grant us the tawfiq to fulfill the rights of this house of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, so that we may find ourselves in Jannah together also. Wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen. Wa sallallahu ala nabiyyina Muhammad wa ala alihi wa ashabihi wa sallam.